Chapter 31. Half finished, those three were taking things almost entirely into their own hands and working the whole tale as a private venture of their own, a tale which they had nothing at all to do with, by rights. When the book was finished, and I came to look around to see what had become of the team I had originally started out with, and Patsy Cooper, and Betsy Hale, and two boys, and Rowena the lightweight heroine, they were nowhere to be seen. They had disappeared from the story some time or other. I hunted about, and found them stranded, idle, forgotten, and permanently useless. It was very awkward. It was awkward all around, but more particularly in the case of Rowena, because there was a love match on, between her and one of the twins, that constituted the freak, and I had worked it up to a blistering heat, and thrown in a quite dramatic love quarrel, wherein Rowena scathingly denounced her betrothed for getting drunk, and scoffed at his explanation of how it had happened, and wouldn't listen to it, and had driven him from her in the usual Orver way. And now here she sat crying and broken-hearted. For as he had found, that he had spoken only the truth, that is, was not he, but the other of the freak, that had drunk the liquor, that made him drunk, that her half was a prohibitionist, and had never drunk a drop in his life, and altogether tight as a brick 3 days in the week, was wholly innocent of blame. And indeed, when sober, was constantly doing all he could to reform his brother, the other half, who never got any satisfaction out of drinking, anyway, because liquor never affected him. Yes, here she was, stranded with that deep injustice of hers torturing her poor torn heart. I didn't know what to do with her. I was as sorry for her as anybody could be, but the campaign was over, the book was finished, she was sidetracked, and there was no possible way of crowding her in, anywhere. I could not leave her there, of course, it would not do. After spreading her out so, and making such a to-do over her affairs, it would be absolutely necessary to account to the reader for her. I thought and thought and studied, but I arrived at nothing. I finally saw plainly, that there was really no way, but one, I must simply give her the grand bounce. It grieved me to do it, for after associating with her, so much I had come to kind of like her after a fashion, notwithstanding things and was so nauseatingly sentimental. Still it had to be done. So at the top of chapter XVII I put a lender remark concerning July the 4th, and began the chapter with this statistic. Rowena went out in the backyard after supper to see the fireworks, and fell down the well and got drowned. It seemed abrupt, but I thought maybe the reader wouldn't notice it, because I changed the subject right away to something else. Anyway, it loosened up Rowena from where she was stuck, and got her out of the way, and that was the main thing. It seemed a prompt good way of weeding out people that had got stalled, and a plenty good enough way for those others. So I hunted up the two boys and said, they went out back one night to stone the cat, and fell down the well and got drowned. Next I searched around and found old Aunt Patsy and Aunt Betsy Hale where they were around, and said, they went out back one night to visit the sick, and fell down the well and got drowned. I was going to drown some others, but I gave up the idea. Partly because I believed that, if I kept that up it would arouse attention, and perhaps sympathy with those people, and partly because it was not a large well, and would not hold any more anyway. Still the story was unsatisfactory. Here was a set of new characters who were become inordinately prominent, and who persisted in remaining so to the end. And back yonder was an older set who made a large noise, and a great to-do for a little while, and then suddenly played out utterly, and fell down the well. There was a radical defect somewhere, and I must search it out and cure it. The defect turned out to be the one already spoken of, two stories in one, a farce and a tragedy. So I pulled out the farce and left the tragedy. This left the original team in, but only as mere names, not as characters. Their prominence was wholly gone, they were not even worth drowning, so I removed that detail. Also I took the twins apart, and made two separate men of them. They had no occasion, to have foreign names now, but it was too much trouble to remove them all through, so I left them christened as they were, and made no explanation. End of the Project Gutenberg edition of The Tragedy of Pudd'nhead Wilson. Pudd'nhead by Gutenberg edition.